You're listening to WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly, recording from the beautiful Brooklyn College campus. Shout out to everybody at my WBCR. Yo, I'm excited about this one. Last week, I got to see the Joe Budden podcast live. They are doing the best hip-hop podcast out there. I got to watch Joe Budden literally sit on a couch, drink beer, talk junk with his friends, and get money. That got me hyped, man. Plus, it's always good to have some familiar faces on the podcast. My man Fenton finally made some time for us. Fenton, what's good?
I told him, man, cut the contract. Let me see the check. I'll be back.
Yo, Fen, I'm on your ass today, though. Seriously, son. If you come in here with that lawyer on the fence, waffling back and forward, nah, man, I'm on your ass today.
Let's go.
But, yo, we got a special guest in the building, a gentleman I know from graduate school. He's a staple here at Brooklyn College, having done undergrad, grad. He ran track here. He works here. He was my sneaker connect for a while. My man, Oluwadari Ayola. Dari!
What's up, man?
I'm happy to have you here. You good, man? You straight over there?
Yeah, I try.
Yo, I wanted to ask you guys, did you hear about some little soccer event that's going on in Russia right now?
Wow.
All right.
That's not really.
That's my American ignorance taking place, yo. The World Cup is going on in Russia, and at 33 years of age, I am still amazed at how much the world embraces the sport of soccer. I mean, it's crazy. Dari, real quick, tell the people where you're from.
Lagos, Nigeria.
From Lagos, Nigeria.
Chip.
I remember a few years ago, I was watching a Manny Pacquiao fight, and the announcer said, in the Philippines, Pacquiao's home country, when he fights, everything comes to a standstill. Nothing moves. In fact, he said that there's a 0% crime rate. So the thugs and the gangsters say, yo, time out, son. Our guy's fighting. No robbing, stealing, no drug dealing. Our guy's fighting. So, Dari, I want to ask you, in a soccer-crazed country like Nigeria, when the national team is playing, a team you guys call the Super Eagles, when they're on the pitch, paint a picture for me in Nigeria. Would I be able to at least catch a cab?
No.
National holiday.
Yeah, and that's just the team playing. When we win a game, there might be a public holiday the next day.
That's crazy.
Especially if you build a team like Brazil.
That was the scene in Mexico this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Woof. Yeah.
They was turned up?
I saw some videos, man. The street, it was just flooded in the streets, garbage everywhere, like ticker tape, confetti everywhere. Everybody was buying out jerseys. It was insane, man.
But listen, I know about Russia right now. Go ahead, Dari.
Well, back to Manny Pacquiao and the Philippines. I mean, that's a social aspect to soccer. Back in 1973, we had Pele come to Nigeria to play a friendly game. And there was a civil war going on back then. And when Pele came in, the two rivals fighting had to put a stop to the fight for 2 days just for Pele to play soccer. Like, just for people to watch Pele play. So right after Pele left, well, the fight started again. But the fact that there was a game going on and it had to do with Pele.
Everything came to an end.
Everything.
Pele stopped the civil war. That's crazy. I think there's a story about Bob Marley in Jamaica doing something similar as well. But listen, all I know about what's going on in Russia right now is that America's not there. In a country that is quick to tell you that they are the greatest thing. I mean, our president, it seems like every other word out of his mouth is how great America is. In a country where we call our sports teams world champions. In the NBA, the Golden State Warriors are the champion of the world. Forget what's going on in China. In baseball, they're the World Series champions. Forget what's going on in Japan. So I need, Dar, I need that raw, uncut, unadulterated. Tell me why a country that prides itself on being the best, why can we not compete on the international stage in soccer?
Well, first of all, let me say politics and soccer should be two different entities, just like the church and the states, you know? Like when it comes to soccer or any sports, I don't think the president should get involved like Trump has done in recent times. Let it play out. Do its thing. We've had so many great nations that didn't qualify for the World Cup over the past decades, you know? Recently, we have Italy.
But what are you referring to? What did Trump get involved in?
Well, so let me reference last month, I think, when they were trying to bid for the World Cup, and Trump said, oh, whatever country bids against the United States, we're going to retaliate. Do not bid when you know we're going to be bidding for the World Cup. Like, we have to get it because we're the United States. When things like that happen, I think it takes away from the sports, you know, like the whole culture of different countries putting out a bid and the best, you know, wins the tournament, you know.
Right.
So I really think Trump needs to tone down the rhetoric in terms of, you know, we the United States, nobody should compete against us. Competition makes the United States great. If we don't have people competing against us, then the game is just rigged and it's not fair. So
I got you. But I want to, on the pitch, tell me why is America not a player on an international soccer scene?
Well, first of all, I think we need to change our mentality right here in the United States, starting from the name soccer. I just think there is a stigma with that name. When people think about soccer, they think about a girl's sports. And and don't take it for granted. The women's team, they're really, really good, okay? And a lot of guys cannot do half of what those women do on the field, all right, when it comes to playing soccer. But the term soccer, me personally, I think if we want to distinguish between soccer and football, I think the United States, we can adopt, you know, oh, European football instead of calling it soccer. So people don't think we're talking about American football. So the name soccer, personally, I just don't like that. Being African, I think it's football, but you guys already have your football. So I think European football should be something that we should adopt. And number two, I mean, the reason why we're not really dominant is because a lot of our players are not guys who play together for the club level, right? Compared to the European teams, a lot of great players play in Europe. So if you look at Brazil, for example, Brazil is not in Europe, but a lot of the Brazilian players all play for elite teams in Europe.
As full-grown adults?
Yes.
But they're already established at that age. I'm talking about at the youth level. That's where it starts in soccer, right?
Well, at the youth level, I think the United States Soccer Federation is really doing a lot to, like, help with grassroots soccer. But I think we need to do better with the recruiting process. I feel like there's so many talents out here. There's so many talents out here that we can actually tap from, you know. It's like the most diverse nation in the world. We can at least find a Neymar and a Ronaldo.
Right, so why hasn't it happened? That's what I'm saying.
Because those guys go and play baseball or basketball or football, because that's where the money is.
That's where the money is. And right from the way the colleges actually spend a lot of money giving out scholarships for football and basketball, I really think soccer needs to adopt that.
You're talking about guys playing at a professional level and they play together in the great leagues. Okay, they're full-fledged adults. You're talking about college scholarships. We knew who LeBron James was well before he went to college. I'm talking about at a youth level, the Europeans overseas, those guys seem to have an advantage over us. Like Neymar and Messi and Ronaldo been in camp since they were 12, 13 years old.
Because that's the major sport in those countries.
That is, yeah.
Our attention is split up between baseball, football,
yep,
basketball, and even hockey, golf, and tennis. Like, those things take up the attention span and the greater athletes.
But my rebuttal to that would be, our U.S. women have won the World Cup. Our U.S. women are ranked number one in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
They have the same opportunity to play baseball, well, softball, and basketball.
How come they
flock to soccer? Women don't play basketball in
women
America?
Women do play basketball, but you cannot compare the NBA to the WNBA.
Okay, but there's no women's professional soccer league. So why do they flock there?
There is a women's professional soccer league.
That is fledgling. That thing just started like a year or two ago. I'm talking about back when me and Hammond them were winning. They could have chose basketball, but for some reason they went to soccer.
You're right.
Why do we not have that on the men's side? Growing up, they told me everybody's about to be the next star. Freddie Adu, all of these guys. How come that never transpired on an international level? We have every type of athlete there is. We have every type of, I mean, is soccer a sport for the poor? I hear stories about Pelé tying socks together to make a soccer ball. Well, we got some of the most poorest communities. Is it an aristocratic sport? Well, we the wealthiest country in the world. Why? We're not even at the dance right now. The whole world is having a party in Russia. We're not even invited. So, okay, we might not be the top of the top, but we don't even get a ticket to the dance. We that far behind the rest of the world? That does not make sense to me.
Well, I don't think they're that far behind. They barely got eliminated. So this World Cup
thing. Hold on. I don't want to address this to both of you, but Fenta, you're going to jump in here. This time 4 years ago, I remember I was driving limos. I remember pulling over. Yo, I'm watching this USA game. I was into it like the rest of this country. We were in the round of death. We competed. We performed better than we had ever done. Okay. We should be trending upward. How do you have such a regression that you don't even make the next tournament?
Well, first of all, I personally felt like the manager we had back then wasn't even the right guy for the job, Bruce Arena. It was a great manager back in the days when the United States was doing really well. But right now, for the qualifiers, I think it was a bad decision from the United States Soccer Federation to actually fire Klinsmann before the qualifiers for the World Cup.
Dari, you talking about coaches, man. I'm talking about a talent pipeline.
I know, but
we're not even represented in the professional leagues overseas.
But you asking why we never qualified for the World Cup, and I'm giving you a legit reason. Number one reason being the manager, the manager's tactics, the manager's ability to influence a team. When Bruce Arena was a great manager, the caliber of players you had back then were different. Those guys were millionaires, okay? Now you're dealing with a different animal, and I felt like the German guy we had before him, Klinsmann, was the right guy for the job. Klinsmann single-handedly recruited kids who had dual citizen for the United States and Germany. They could have chose Germany if they could get in. A lot of them probably wouldn't get into the German team, but the fact that the United States reached out to them and it was Klinsmann calling them to come play for the United States.
I know that, kid. I know who you're referring to. But again, that goes to my issue of why are they not here on American soil in a pipeline? Why do we have to go pluck a kid who was raised in Germany and his mama just happened to be American? I'm talking about the American pipeline.
Because soccer is what it seems to be in America. It seems like a juvenile sport. You play it when you're younger, and then as you grow up, then you head to the big boy American sports, the baseball, the football, the basketballs, even the tennis or the golf. So soccer is something that I see that people do as a child, and then, you know, recreationally, and then they grow up. The better athletes grow up and develop and become athletes and great athletes in other sports. And it's not as advantageous to play soccer unless you're like one of these once-in-a-life generational talents and then you go play overseas and you're like one of the top five paid athletes in the world, like Ronaldo and Messi and these guys. So it doesn't financially make sense to people whose goal is to make it playing sports. Because you got a harder route to play.
Fenton, I was with you. I was going to let you rock. Financially, it doesn't make sense when the world's most popular sport is soccer. There's opportunities all over this place. Soccer is a universal language.
Yes, and that's why you have more people try to get in it. You only have, let's just talk numbers. Let's say there's 100 talented basketball players trying to get into the NBA, and only 10 are going to make it. There's going to be 20,000 talented soccer players, and only 200 is going to make it. Like you said, it's the world sport. It's a universal language. Everybody's trying to get in. Big name teams, they have players from all over the place. None are from that city. None are from that country. None are from that town. They cherry-pick players who they want to play for them. That's why everybody's watching one or two soccer leagues because all the best players are there. You can go play some minor league somewhere, yeah, but what is that doing for you?
The Premier League in England, that's still number one, the most viewership right now. As a soccer fanatic myself, and not just playing the sports of soccer, but for the business of soccer, my mission right now and my initiative right now, what I call it Mission 2026.
Right.
And we have about 8 years to develop the next talent for that World Cup. Because as we all know, we're going to be hosting that. 80%.
Why does it always seem like we are at ground zero? It's 2018. You talk about 8 years. Doug, they were talking about this in 92. They were talking about this when the redhead dude, Alexi Lawless, and them was on the USA team.
Well, times have changed, bro.
I want to say I recently read a book about the United States Dream Team, which was the 1992 Olympics when the first professional basketball players participated. Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson.
That's when they switched from amateur to the pros.
Yes. And it talks about how that Olympics caused an explosion in basketball around the world. That's when we see so much international talent. Paul Gasol, Dirk Nowitzki, these guys say, yo, I remember when Dream Team came. Well, that explosion should have happened in America already. We seen Alexi Lawless. We know Landon Dolliman. So the kids that were exposed to those USA teams, they should be primed and ready.
At times I dream.
That should have been this World Cup.
That he is me. Like, Mike, that's what you see. The advertising. You don't see a Messi commercial. There's not everywhere. There's Jordan Bugs Bunny commercials from 1994, 1995 in every country, in every language. The marketing, the advertising, the money goes to certain directions that funnel certain things. So that's why those guys saw that. McDonald's is a sponsor for the Olympics. That's why those guys saw those things. And that's why they gravitated to basketball. Hakeem Olajuwon was a soccer player.
Fenton, all of these American
Kobe guys, Bryant.
All of these American guys can tell you who the best players in Europe are. Freaking Ronaldo had a cable commercial here in New York. People know who these guys are. America's aware of the sport. But for some reason, and I'm trying to get that answer from you two, but I have yet to get it. Y'all want to tell me about coaches? I'm talking about the pipeline. Why are they not waiting in the wings? After Landon Donovan, how come we didn't have a truckload of guys that are ready? After Clint Dempsey and what they did last World Cup, having the best showing ever, we should be building on that.
Problem with that being that the best players from the United States never get recruited by the top teams in Europe. And until that starts to happen, we might not see that change in the soccer league. Yeah.
That's true.
Hold on. Why are they not coming to America? If they could go into the favelas in Brazil and pluck a poor kid from Brazil, they can come to America. They're not coming to America because they're not worthy of it. The talent is not there. And that's the question I'm trying to get answered. How come the little poor kid in Brazil is better than the little poor kid in Brooklyn?
Because he's just playing soccer from the time he could walk.
It's just a generational thing, you know? It's the mentality. Like, that's, again, back to what you said with soccer being the dominant sports in those parts of the world. Like, there's nothing. There's no diversity. So you have the whole attention dedicated to soccer. That's how I see it.
So why do you think all these Major League Baseball teams go to pluck players from the Dominican Republic and Venezuela? Because yeah, that's all they're doing. Their only way out is baseball. So that's what their drive is. Singular focus is that. So in these other countries where the popular sport is soccer, like the majority of the world outside of the United States and Canada, soccer is the biggest thing out there, the biggest thing going. If you want to be a pro athlete in Nigeria, if you want to be a pro athlete in Brazil, if you want to be a pro athlete in Mexico, you're thinking about playing soccer. You're not thinking about playing basketball. You're not thinking about playing American football. You're not thinking about playing hockey, tennis, or golf. You're thinking about playing soccer. You watch Pele. You wanted to be that guy.
All right. So something unprecedented right here, right? The next World Cup. Do you know where that's going to be?
Yes.
Okay.
Qatar.
Okay. Do you think they have a ready-made soccer team to compete at that World Cup?
The country of Qatar?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Do you know what they did? What? And I think we could borrow that ideology as well. They take in guys that are ready made from other countries and they're offering them citizenships, you know, and it's working for them. I'm telling you. And another thing, why I feel like the United States can have the best team in the world, because it is a melting pot out here. If you look at the French team, 90% of the players there play for that team because of immigration. A lot of their parents are from Mali, Senegal, Libya, Algeria. A lot of them are the ones on the team right now, and the United States can actually do the same. I'm not in the place of power to make that change, but if I was, believe me, I would make that change. The problem is not with, you know, the soccer players or the fans, it's just the leadership. That's how I see it. If I have the opportunity, believe me, I would turn that around. I would turn that around, starting with grassroots sports, man, like from the academy. You're talking about Brazil and Europe and all that. They have academies whereby, like an incubator, from the day you were born, when you were 5 years old, they put you in the academy and you start playing soccer.
Okay, all right. Now we get into what I'm asking. Why don't we have that?
Why though? The question why we don't have that, you got to ask those rich folks who have everything.
All right, let me stop you right there. Dari, how long has the MLS been around?
Ah, put me on the spot here, man. The MLS has been around probably about 20 years now.
Okay, I see they got a new franchise in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
One is coming to Miami.
Dudes playing in Mercedes Stadium.
Uh-huh.
30,000 people.
Yeah.
Portland Timbers selling out.
Mm-hmm.
LA Galaxy. David Beckham came over years ago. The world went crazy.
Thierry Henry.
I could, what's this other guy that just came?
Zlatan.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Listen, I could buy your argument that America's not paying attention to soccer, it's basketball. Yo, I could buy that argument if when Beckham comes, we didn't go crazy. If when Zlatan comes, people weren't waiting at the airport. If the MLS was not thriving and they weren't selling out stadiums. But that's not true. These American kids are running around with these soccer jerseys. They know who Raul is. They know who Ronaldo is. They know who Ronaldinho is. America is aware of soccer. So you guys want to sell me that, oh, they don't know what's going on. All they see is basketball stars. Not true. Soccer come on all times of the night, and these kids stay up, and they know who this kid is and that guy is. America is aware of soccer. My only issue is that we are going in the opposite direction. We just came off of our best showing. We are well aware of what's going out there on the international stage. We are aware. We've seen our women win World Cups, compete. We know what's going on in this country. Me and him and Brandi Chastain, they are raised by American families. We know what's going on. But for whatever reason, the men have not got on board, and I don't know why.
We get in there, and I think right now is the best opportunity for soccer, like, With football right now and concussions and all that, a lot of parents don't even want their kids playing football, and I think this is a right opportunity for soccer to tap into that pool of talent.
And it's cheap to play soccer too. Or you gotta get that little cheap ass shin guard.
except to break a leg like me, and it costs you $40,000 for surgery. Yeah. You know, when you're really good, you know, they try to, you know, break your leg. But being serious, man, you know, I just feel like we need to do more with recruiting players and developing talent and keeping talent. Odell Beckham is a great soccer player. But obviously, I mean, football paid more money than soccer in America. But if he had the chance to play soccer in Europe, would he have chosen soccer or football? That's a question no one's ever... I'm never going to know the answer to that because no one's ever asked him that. Well, Odell Beckham is a really, really good soccer player. Kobe's a really good soccer player as well.
Steve Nash, too, from Canada.
Yeah, so, we just have to get this talent. And getting the talent is not a problem. Retaining the talent is the problem. Because for some reason, I found a kid who's really, really good at soccer. And then he's going to college in a year or two. And there is a recruiter trying to poach him to come play for Penn State. And the American mentality in him automatically goes in for Penn State. So what
sport that they're trying to get him to play in Penn State?
Football.
Seen the talent, go and get him.
So that's what I'm talking about. We need to do more to retain our soccer stars, like the soccer talent. It's not just about finding them. That's the easy part, finding them. I can go to Pier 40 right now and... Jesus, I play with guys that I feel like they can be as good as Ronaldo. All
right, so help me out understand the process. I know LeBron James' story. playing on the blacktops. Tell me the story of guys like Ronaldo and Messi. When they're 12 and 13, where are they? Are they in camps?
They're in those camps. Messi.
They're in the academies at that point. The Barcelona has one of the greatest academies in the world, man. Like, the guys who are 16 years old in the Academy of Barcelona can actually make it into the first team of another club in another country. So the guys, for example, the guys in Barcelona's academy, they're 16 years old, can actually make it into, let's say, an Aston Villa in England, a Newcastle in England. Okay, but they're not good enough to get into Barcelona's first team, but they're good enough to make it into another team.
Because the talent, they're being developed at a young age. Like, for example, Lionel Messi, he was in the academy as a young child. He didn't have the appropriate size that they think that he would make it as a footballer. Grooming him and pumping him with human growth hormones to allow him to grow to become the player that he is today. Why? Because they saw the talent and they developed it.
Yeah.
You saying they got like a factory?
They pumping them out, man.
That's what I call an incubator. Messi's case was different, though. Messi's case was different because he had a problem. He had a condition where he couldn't grow past past 5'1". And for you to be a soccer player, I mean, you have to be a little bit taller than that.
Dari, who's that kid, the American kid that everybody's saying the best right now?
It plays for Borussia Dortmund. Pulisic.
What country is that?
In Germany.
He plays in Germany professionally.
The club level, yes.
He was raised in America?
Yes, New Jersey.
He was raised in New Jersey. Okay. In school, with my brother Dari in graduate school, we learned about the Olympic process and the national team process. At the grassroots level, there's all type of basketball programs. It's not just the Olympic team that you see every 4 years. There's all type of levels, coaching camps. There's the same for track and field. What does our soccer, when I say we, I mean America, what does that Olympic governing body look like? That soccer, what is it?
United States Soccer Federation.
What does it look like? What's the process? What was his life coming up in America, New Jersey, playing soccer? What hands did the governing body have on him, and how did they help him to get to where he's at?
Well, first of all, the United States Soccer Federation, I can't really say they really helped Christian Pulisic into, making it into Borussia Dortmund. You know, when you're good, the talent, the scouts are there to see you. So as bad as you think, there are no scouts in the United States. They don't want to come here to find talent. There are scouts from Europe in the United States looking for talent every day, okay? So he's one of those kids who got noticed, and, the rest is history, all right? So with the United States Soccer Federation, I feel they have to do more as well in terms of, again, as I said, retaining the talents that we have, okay? And individual has to do with this as well, because if Pulisic himself didn't really like soccer like that, he was good at it, but he didn't like it, there's no way he would have been playing soccer right now. He'd probably choose basketball or football or something else, you know? But it's all about the passion for the sports itself. And that's why I said we need to change the rhetoric, you know? We need to die down the whole, oh, it's a girl sports. Nobody cares about soccer. Oh, it takes forever to score. You don't score all the time, you know? I just think we need to change the conversation. And right now is the right time. 2026 is our time. We are hosting that game with Canada. We're hosting that tournament with Canada and Mexico, and 80% of the game is going to be in the United States. And for the first time ever, it's not going to be 36 teams. It's going to be extended to 40-something, I think. I don't know the right numbers.
They open it up for more teams. Yeah. I don't see how that is going to draw more eyes, American eyes, on soccer. I mean, because, of course, since we're a hosting team, we get an automatic bid. But we hosted the games in 94, and that was the most viewed World Cup in World Cup history. So it doesn't change. I just don't think that the young athletic kids coming up playing sports are interested in soccer.
I think they're out there. They're just maybe not in the United States. Again, when we're talking about soccer, it's a global thing.
No, I'm talking about the American kids.
Oh, probably not, because of, you know, the whole rhetoric about soccer being a girl's sport and soccer not being fun. Most of the time, it's because a lot of those kids never get the opportunity to even play the game of soccer. They don't know anything about it. No one's teaching them about soccer. And when I see the guys who coach soccer in high school, they don't even know anything about soccer. It's like, oh, it's just, you know, I'm just doing this because it's a weekend thing for me. Like, no, that needs to change. I don't want to see a basketball coach teaching soccer. No, that needs to change as well. Okay?
But, yo, it just seems like we are always starting at ground zero. As I mentioned, I thought we were trending upward. I mean, you guys want to tell me that America is not aware of what's going on, yet every time these international teams come over here, they sell out stadiums. But I want to put a bow on that. I want to talk a little bit about the business of what it means for America not being in the World Cup. A lot of what Dari and I discussed in graduate school was about sponsorship. A lot of these companies and corporations spent a lot of money to be associated with athletes, with leagues, with teams. You know, they want a piece of those eyeballs. It's no coincidence after you watch some NFL football on Sunday, you have a sudden urge to drink beer, eat chips, and all of a sudden you want to drive a Chevy pickup truck. Because these corporations spend a lot of money just inundating you with commercials and having their logos all over the sidelines. So, Dari.
Yep.
I know there were some companies that spent top dollar to get in bed with USA Soccer, expecting them to be playing on this world stage in the World Cup 2018 in Russia.
Yeah.
But America's not there. So who was left holding the bag thinking they were going to get some eyeballs in Russia, and now they're at home with nothing?
The number one loser, I really want to call them losers anyway, because regardless, they're still going to make their money. Fox. $400 million.
Hold the network, Fox?
Yes. $400 million they took over from ESPN. They paid double what ESPN was paying before just to get the right to show the World Cup, all the games for this World Cup and the next World Cup.
So they went to the table like, yo, America just came off the best performance in the World Cup. The ratings were through the roof. So they made a bid. And they bid twice as much as ESPN did.
Yeah. And they got that for $400 million.
Now America's not there.
America's not there. But listen.
Now they got a whole bunch of Iceland versus whoever the hell that nobody cares about.
See, that's the problem. That's the conversation we need to change.
But
okay?
Hold on. What is the ratings? How are the ratings now that America is not in? I know you're a soccer fanatic.
Yeah.
You watch them regardless.
Yeah.
Is there a measurable difference here in the States?
Well, yeah. For Americans, we're really, really patriotic, and they are everything America first. I really think they're the ones who might, you know, the Fox network might be missing out on. I can tell you there is a strong immigrant population in this country that they will call off a work just to see Spain play Portugal, okay? Right. And that game, Fox could tell you, I really don't have the numbers, but the viewership was crazy.
Right.
Okay? So because the United States wasn't in it, there's so many companies who actually already got the bid regardless. Like, they already got the sponsorship regardless of the United States being in it or not. Visa, they've always been a partner with FIFA for years, okay? So whether they're in it or not. Nike signed a new contract in 2000 and... I think they got it for another five years, I think. So with Nike...
Oh, Nike signed a contract to be the USA Soccer jersey sponsor, right?
Yes, they renewed. They started in 95. The deal started in 95, but I think in 2014, they signed a new nine-year deal.
Of course they would. After USA just had the best showing ever, they said, yo, we're going to get in bed with USA Soccer. Next World Cup, we're going to be selling jerseys like crazy. Dari is in the studio today with a USA Soccer jersey. So Nike kind of got caught holding the bag as well.
Yeah, but that's a thing. Nike will always make money regardless of the United States in it or not. So they might lose few potential customers in the United States, but a lot of the United States players, fans who are not buying the United States jersey might be buying the Nigerian jersey that sold out within 3 days. And it's Yo, Darry, ranked.
These businesses are not in the business of making money. The fact that they put all of that money to be associated with USA Soccer and they're not at the table is a loss. Of course they're going to make money, but they're not making what they thought they were when they made that major bid. Fan, that shit make you sick to your stomach knowing that, yo, I thought I was getting one thing, and now the team I invested in is sitting at home with me.
But it's a gamble. You have to take that shot. What are you going to do? You're going to double down on your investment, hoping to maximize your profit, and that's what everyone did. Because they just, like you've been saying all day, they just came off the greatest showing that they had in however long. So you expect them to get in.
So how come ESPN knew to back off and let Fox get the bid?
No, they didn't know to back off. Fox probably Fox doubled down. Fox said they probably just said, whatever they're paying, we're paying double. Doesn't matter. Blind bid. They bid against Fox, probably bid against themselves. So probably because ESPN just paid a whole bunch of money for the NBA and NFL. So maybe they wasn't trying to spend that kind of money on a tournament that's going to happen 4 years from now with potential of USA not being in it. So it's just a gamble. And they took it and they lost.
Darry, what's going on the field? Hold up. Before we get to the pitch, give me some teams that are favored to win this whole thing.
My number one pick right now, Spain.
Fan, you saw what happened with Spain the other day?
Nah, I didn't get to watch that game. Not really interested.
Nah, before they even took the field.
If that was the United States, would you be interested?
Probably not.
Oh, gosh.
Yo, fan, 24 hours before they are set to participate in the biggest sporting event in the world, they fired their head coach.
I can give you a reason for that, by the way.
Hold on. And they fired their head coach because they learned that he took the Real Madrid job. So when he was going to be done with his national team duties, he was going to work for Real Madrid. So the Spanish Federation said, yo, that's dishonorable. We don't like how he went about it. So they fired him. Now, first off, Darry, Real Madrid is one of the most premier soccer teams in the world.
Yes, sir.
So how could they fault the man for taking that gig?
I think it's just a matter of principles, you know. It's like me being a player on, by the way, I'm a massive Arsenal fan, by the way. So it's like me being a player on Arsenal and I'm talking to Liverpool on the side. So at the end of the day, from an outside point of view, you guys might feel, well, I think you went for a better job. I mean, why not? But at the end of the day, you signed a contract, and on your contract, you're not allowed to do certain things.
Darry, is the coach of the international team, is that expected to be his only job?
No.
So what's the problem that he went and found another gig?
Well, the thing is, you're on contract, and it's just about the way you go about it. You know, you're not talking to your current employer. It's paying you millions of dollars about an interview that you're doing on the side.
There's no honor and morals in business. Everybody's depends securing
on,
their money.
Depends on who you're talking to.
There's no honor and moral in business.
Yo, did him accepting that job, did it prevent him from doing his duties with the national team? Here in America, I mentioned the Dream Team earlier. They were coached by Chuck Daly. His everyday job was to coach the Detroit Pistons. The national team that we have now, Mike Krzyzewski is the head coach. He has full-time duties at Duke University. The next coach is Greg Popovich. He has double duties with the San Antonio Spurs, head coach and general manager. These are the national four. We could never compete internationally if they take that serious. The man wanted to go get one of the most premier jobs in soccer with Real Madrid, and they gave him the axe? Now, is that fair to the players, fan? The day before the biggest tournament in the world, their leader – you get him the hell out of here.
Nah, that's a bad move on management, especially going into the biggest tournament in soccer. You know, that's what everybody leads up to, these 4 years playing the World Cup to try to secure the bid to win the tournament. So doing that, I just think it was a bonehead move, and look what you saw happen.
They ended up tying, right, Darry?
Well, yeah, but
as a favorite, they ended up tying when they should have won.
I don't know about one that even
yeah,
if they
I forget.
Hold on.
A tie.
I don't care even if they had the manager. If the manager was never fired, the result would have been about the same because you're facing Portugal. You're facing Cristiano Ronaldo. pretty much the best player in the world. Depends on who you're talking to.
So, Dari, the leadership doesn't matter. You just told me for 20 minutes the reason America can't compete because of your leadership.
Leadership does matter. Leadership does matter a lot, though. The leadership. The thing about, again, another thing about soccer is soccer culture. A lot of Americans do not have that soccer culture in them. In Europe and Spain, for example, whenever Real Madrid or Barcelona calls, I do not care what part of the world you're in or how much you're earning. People take a pay cut to answer Real Madrid and Barcelona if you were from Spain, okay? And this guy used to be a goalkeeper for Real Madrid as well. When Real Madrid calls or Barcelona calls you, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you have to answer, okay? What I just felt like was bad management on their part was they shouldn't have announced this until the end of the World Cup. I don't know why Real Madrid did that.
Somebody got their feelings hurt.
Yeah, that was just stupid on their end, okay? They should have never done that. And I'm pretty sure the manager himself wasn't aware of that, you know? And he saw that coming like, oh my God, did they just announce this? We kept it on the low this long for a reason, okay? Because the negotiation didn't start a night before he got fired, okay? It probably started before the season was even over. They knew they were going to replace Zinedine Zidane, okay? So that was just bad management from Real Madrid, and the manager himself, his agent, should be fired because he didn't do enough to keep that a secret.
Yeah, you don't put that out there before the yes, World sir. Cup. That's just a poor job on everybody. Everybody.
All right, Dari, you said 2026, North America will be hosting the World Cup. That's Canada, USA, and Mexico.
Yes, sir.
Now, we know America's going to be there because you get automatic a slot because you are the host team. Will we have a team that could compete? Real quick before we finish up here.
That's what I'm trying to say, that 2026 starts right now. For me personally, I call it Mission 2026 because I just feel like right now is a time we have to start developing the talent. 90% of the guys on the squad will not be at that World Cup, okay? Yep. So now is the time to develop those players, and we need to do more to help our players actually get into top teams in Europe, okay? I there's so many players from the United States playing in Europe, but they're playing in average teams like Aston Villa, Fulham, West Ham. Like, we don't want that. We want to see our players compete with the Ronaldos, with the Messis, with the Neymars. And I believe we can do it. And now is the time to start preparing for 2026.
All right. That's my man, Oluwadari Ayola. Thanks for joining me, man. Yo, that was my man, Oluwadari, son. I appreciate you joining me. We're going to get out of here real soon. Just wanted to run a few things by my man, Fence. Not every day we could get him in the booth.
Cut the check.
Not much going on in the sports world. All we see is the frenzy that is NBA free agency.
Yes, sir.
Now, Fent, year after year, all we see is where is LeBron going? I'm done with that, son. I'm done with that. If I'm an owner of a franchise and my general manager comes to me and says, yo, the offseason plan is to hopefully get LeBron. I got a problem. I'm paying you millions of dollars to come up with that. That is a lack of creativity. LeBron James has been in the league 15 plus years, and he only has 3 championships to show for it. 12 out of those 15 years, there was a plan that was better than LeBron James. We need to be working on that, especially that the man is about to celebrate his 34th birthday in December. And never mind his age. The mileage on him was way up there. Well beyond 34 years of age. So if that is your only plan, I'm mad at the lack of creativity.
Don't hate the player. Hate the game, man.
Fenta, at this point, is it not mighty lame for the offseason plan to still be, hey, let's get LeBron?
If the guy is the best player in the league, yes, that is always the goal.
Fenton, I just said that 12 out of the last 15 years, somebody else won the championship. 12 out of the last 15 years, there was a plan that was greater than LeBron James.
I don't know if it was a plan that was greater than LeBron James. It was a lot of things that went on to where he couldn't win, honestly. But at the same time, if you have an opportunity to get the best player out there, you go and get the best player out there, hands down, nothing. This free agency right now is a blockbuster sport. I'm locked into my TV every day. I'm hearing all the rumors. I'm listening to the trade mills. I'm all for it because you know why? It's going to be the same result, the Golden State Warriors versus whoever LeBron puts together in the playoffs. And that's what it boils down to. That's what I want to see. I want to see this frenzy. I want to see what people come up with. I want to see all the trained rumors. I want to see people camping out in LeBron's crib to see if the trailer's coming or he's having guys over for dinner and hatching out the plan for 2018. That's what I'm 2019 rather. That's what I want to see.
Fenton, if you're an organization like the Lakers where you have cap space for two max players, you have the former number one pick in Lonzo Ball that many people are excited about, How long do you plan on LeBron James being the best player in the world?
If you could get three out of the next five championships, would you roll the dice on that or get in 5 years of an average team or maybe a playoff team? What would you take?
You need to set your – if my general manager comes in that office, I'm telling him, we need to set our sights higher. The Golden State Warriors, I couldn't believe it. I saw Draymond's T-shirt. He had three rings. I said, damn, it's three already? He got three rings.
Should have been four.
They squandered one in the blink of an eye. You got to set our sights a little bit higher than LeBron James at 34 years old with all of this mileage, man. That's a lack of creativity. All
right, so if that's the case, what do you do? You're the general manager. Pick your team. General manager, make the moves right now. Numbers, nothing matters. Do what you have to do. Beat the Golden State Warriors right now.
Fenton, that plan is – this is what I'm saying. It's not overnight. It's not, yo, we're going to sit around for 2 years until LeBron becomes a free agent. Nah, man, I need them scouts in Europe. I need them scouts on these youth athletic teams. I need to find Klay Thompson. He wasn't a heavily touted individual coming out of college or high school. Steph Curry couldn't even get a scholarship. I need my guys in the trenches. For you to sit behind your desk and watch SportsCenter and say, yo, we need LeBron. Yo, Fent, you and I can do that. But when you have an organization with all type of resources at their disposal, with all type of money, you got to come to me with something better than LeBron. Go find me Kawhi Leonard, who was the number one 8 pick in the draft.
Look, those guys are credit to their work, not who saw them. Because George Hill was a high draft pick by the San Antonio Spurs, and they flipped that to Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard didn't come out the gate being the guy that he is. He just got a jump shot. I was killing Kawhi for the longest. He just got a jump shot. Now he's unstoppable. These guys developed. San Antonio Spurs, that organization, made Kawhi. The Golden State Warriors made Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. Mark Jackson groomed those guys to be the players that they were. Steph was always a shooter, but Steph was light. Steph didn't have the handle he did. Go in the gym and put in the work. These guys put in the work and put in the effort to be the players that they are. Nobody didn't cherry pick them.
Hold on. I'm confused about what you just said. First, I think you said that those guys are credited to their own work as if an organization cannot find these gems. And then you said it was the organization that found Steph Curry and Kawhi Leonard.
No, I said the organization developed them. Okay. Those guys put in the work and the organization put them in a position to make them who they are. You don't spot guys like that and say what they're going to be who they were. Scottie Pippen was a football water boy. Got drafted 6 rings.
Yo, Fenn, don't bring up Scottie Pippen because I just told you I just finished the Dream Team book and they spoke to the general manager who said, yo, thank God the internet wasn't around because I knew that kid was a gem when I found him and I wanted to keep him a secret. I didn't tell anybody where he was. He was in some little school in Arkansas. I was so excited to get my hands on it. That's a team putting the work in the trenches. The San Antonio Spurs traded George Hill for Kawhi Leonard. They saw something. They were in the gym. With all of these tools we have, you could tell a mental makeup. You could sit them down with psychologists, see who's going to really work hard, who's going to get fat after they get the money. With all the resources, we need to come up with something better than LeBron. That's my only issue.
Now, you can't have an issue with greatness.
I got you, man. That's a lack of creativity. That's a lack of creativity. As I mentioned, the last 12 out of 15 years, somebody else other than LeBron James hoisted the Larry O'Brien trophy. The only other name in free agency, or he's not even a free agent, Kawhi Leonard. This dude is getting on my nerves. They keep talking about, well, he wants to go to L.A. Listen, why does he want to go to L.A.? Because that's where the bright lights are? Yo, in today's NBA, this is in 1992. Today's NBA, the biggest star is LeBron James. That boy playing Cleveland, Ohio. The second one with the most commercials, Russell Westbrook. He plays in Oklahoma City. With the technology, the world can come to you. So if you think you're going to go to L.A. and be a big star, you got something else coming. The reason you're not a star is because you never open your mouth and said anything interesting.
He just wins.
You had an NBA championship and you're a finals MVP. After that championship, the summer belongs to that team. We ain't see Kawhi Leonard on the Tonight Show.
His job is to play NBA basketball, man. So I can't go on vacation?
Why you running to L.A. like something spectacular is going to happen? We need to be in a bigger market.
The guy wants to go home. He's a South California guy. He can't go home? Where were you before you came back home? You was out in Denver. You was all over. What you wanted to do? Come back home.
Okay, if that's what he wants to do, I got no problem with it. But I get the feeling that his team is like, yo, we need to be in a bigger market. Dog, the world is your oyster. Today, social media, I never see anything on that boy timeline, man. Open your mouth. You want to be a star, open your mouth. Do something creative.
But yo, all my man do is win.
I ain't got much else, man. What else? What you got over there? You got anything on your phone?
Right now, the only thing on my mind is where Kawhi is going to go, because after that piece falls, then free agency is going to be crazy. Just watch out for that. That's what I want to see. I want to see what happens with AD. I want to see what happens with Kyrie, because that's going to be a dark horse. If Danny Ainge is the GM, the mad scientist GM that I think he is, I think he would flip Kyrie Irving for something crazy.
I'm glad you brought up the Celtics. I did want to run that by you. Again, this LeBron sweepstakes, we watching it.
Must see TV.
I saw it come across that the Celtics were in play for LeBron. I had to scratch my head on that one. I'm like, yo, how can the Celtics be in play for LeBron when they just acquired Kyrie and Kyrie left Cleveland because he wanted to get the hell away from LeBron? Yo, Finn, how would that work?
Somebody's going to have to go. But the crazy thing is,
and you're going to trade Kyrie Irving, the younger talent, the man who hit the biggest shot in Cleveland Cavaliers history, for 34-year-old LeBron James?
Well, if you trade Kyrie Irving right now and get an AD and you bring LeBron over, woo, that's a heavyweight fight in June, baby. I want to see that. Who doesn't want to see that?
That's a heavyweight fight, but then you're going to get a fill-out season. We got to get acclimated to each other and then the other teams. And
it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a process.
And then LeBron James is retired.
Yo, I want to see that happen. I want to see, because that's going to be interesting alone. If LeBron James comes to that team, just the drama between what happens between those two alone is must-see TV. Somebody pull the trigger on that trade. Let's get LeBron over here. Let's get Kyrie out of there. He's finished anyway, man.
Lack of creativity. Man, what else you got over there?
I'm tapped, man. This is summer.
This summer, man. WBH Radio. Shout out to my man Oluwadari for coming through. Fent in the building.
Chip.
Turn on my mic, bro.
We out of here.